BDSM Basics.
Hello, and welcome back to Spank You Next, a fetish and BDSM podcast. You're listening to another of our bite-sized episodes, BDSM Basics. Hi, Gregor.
Hey, Anna. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's February. I have to say February is my least favourite month of the year.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's kind of just too grey, too dark, too cold for too long. Kind of,
yeah,
it's kind of a bad combination.
It's true.
But otherwise, I know, days are getting longer. We are back with the new BDSM Basics, the first this year. So I'd say things are definitely looking up.
True, first of 2024. And for anyone first tuning into our podcast or a BDSM Basics in general, usually our podcast entails us sitting down with a sex positive guest or someone in the kink scene and interviewing them. But these episodes are more informative, bite-sized chunks to explain the basics of BDSM. And today, what are we talking about?
Today, we'll be talking about sadomasochism.
A staple.
A big, big topic.
It's the SM of BDSM.
It's the SM of BDSM. No BDSM without sadomasochism.
Exactly.
So, basically, I mean, sadomasochism, it's all about inflicting pain and experiencing pain. So the sadism part...
Is that like physical or is it also mental?
That's a very good question. So it can be both, of course, but we are talking mainly about the physical aspect. So kind of a sadist is somebody who really enjoys inflicting physical pain, whereas a masochist is somebody who enjoys experiencing pain. And kind of we're really talking about the whole panorama here about, you know, even the anticipation of pain and then maybe, you know, the marks of pain that may remain on the body. But more to that later. Let's have a look at where these terms come from.
Okay, come on, give us a history lesson.
The thing is, both terms, sadism and masochism, were named after men, obviously.
Of course.
And the first is the more well-known. So sadism is, of course, named like this after the Marquis de Sade, who was a very committed sadism practitioner, and he also wrote extensively about it. So he was a French author, 19th century, and he was kind of a dark creature.
A dark horse?
Yeah. Kind of, I think he drank a lot. He loved wild sex and practicing sadism while living in France. And the thing is, he wrote a lot about it in his texts and books. And for instance, already in one of his earlier novels, Justine, which he actually wrote while being in prison.
Okay.
He wrote about kind of very intense sexual experiences.
In prison or ones he'd had before he went to prison?
No, he just wrote the book. It's a novel.
Fiction?
Yeah, fiction. And he wrote it while he was in prison. And the whole novel is about a very, very young girl. Kind of,
I think when... No offense to French people listening, but why is it always the underage with you guys?
Yeah. I mean, she gets older as the book goes along.
Oh, so good for her.
We start out with her being 12, and I think at the end she's like 25.
Stop.
Yeah.
But okay, so it's like the French Lolita.
Yeah. And it's really kind of, it's a French coming of age story, and loads of bad things just happened to the girl who's called Justine. So she's in loads of unfortunate situations that include the time when she seeks refuge and confession in a monastery, but then she's forced to become a sex slave to the monks who subject her to countless orgies, rapes, and similar things. That's from Wikipedia.
We're only laughing because it's actually so bad.
It's so bad. But, you know, 19th century, I guess that was the unicorn of the 19th century. You know, they didn't have computers, so they read the Marquis de Sade. And
very gothic times.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And also, what we know of the church, it's not that far afield, is it?
No, it really isn't. Kind of, I'm sure worse things are happening in the Vatican. So
sorry. I'm sorry to also Catholics listening to that, or my family members, because I am
they
Catholic.
Should know. Kind of, it's not like we're inventing things here. Bad things happen. Kind of,
haven't you seen Spotlight?
Also, kind of one thing is the religion, and then another thing is the people behind them. That's always
the men.
The men, yeah.
The sexually repressed men.
So, anyway. Yeah, Marquis de Sade, actually, one of his quotes is, "It is only by way of pain one arrives at pleasure."
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, I quite like that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but, yeah.
So also, was he like a bad guy, or was he just like a promiscuous kind of kinky guy?
I think he was more like a promiscuous kinky guy. Like, definitely a bit dotty, you know, kind of spending time in prison, but...
Why?
I mean, if you
what
can...
What did you do?
If you haven't spent any time in prison in the 19th century, have you even lived at all? That is like... That's the big question. I actually don't know why he was in prison.
Okay, so, well, we'll circle back to that.
Let's kind of move to the other side, masochism, the people who enjoy the experience of pain. Mm-hmm. And this term is actually named after an Austrian.
Oh,
I was really
your
surprised.
Your homeland.
Yes, an Austrian.
I'm not surprised. No. I see Austria as a very underground, kinky nation.
I also think that, yeah. Oh, we have also some kind of bad, repressed history. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's really the guilt of the Second World War. But So, an Austrian nobleman who was called Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, so this second surname, Masoch, Masochist, and he wrote novels expressing his masochistic fantasy. He kind of loved this idea of being, you know, beaten up, slightly beaten up during sex and, you know, having pain inflicted on him by women. And the fun thing is that later it was actually an Austrian psychiatrist who coined the term masochist, and he was a contemporary of this Leopold. So kind of he lived at the same time, and Leopold was really, really angry at him that he used his name to describe somebody who loves
drama.
Exactly. Real feud.
So was this 19th century as well?
That was also in the 19th century. So,
okay.
And also kind of when we talk about psychiatrists coining these terms, we have to kind of consider that in the past, both sadism and masochism, they were really considered severe mental illnesses. This went on for quite a long time. And I think even today, some therapists, some psychiatrists might consider these interests.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, haven't we?
We talked about it, yeah.
That therapists... So, if you go to a therapist and you're kinky, there have been many times documented people saying that, like, a therapist won't see you if you don't stop engaging in risky behaviors, or that they think you're traumatized. So it still is pervasive today, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to change. I also read that kind of generally now, like, from a medical point of view, the idea is as long as you don't suffer from it in your day-to-day life, as long as this isn't something that kind of limits you in living a happy and healthy life overall, it's not considered a problem anymore.
Okay,
so
good.
Kind of, yeah, we've advanced from that.
Okay, good.
Okay, let's talk a bit about it. So why do people like it? Like, why are people like slightly or even kind of extremely masochistic and like having pain inflicted on them?
Exactly. So I do get the sadist side in the sense, like, historically,
yeah,
inflicting pain is like a form of power, and that has happened since the dawn of time, you know, that pain and inflicting it is like the way of winning, and the one being inflicted upon is like you're like the submissive, or you're like the loser in that battle, whatever battle that may be. So I think people struggle to understand the masochistic side more than the sadistic.
But I think that's really what you just said. That's really where it all comes from. You know, kind of the more dominant, the more sadistic side. It all comes from enjoying this feeling of being in power, of having the control, especially... Or sometimes especially for people who are not so much in power in their day-to-day life, or who have not so much control. Because some of us, we feel very, very much at ease when we have control over how things are going. And the other side is really quite the contrary. So it's just this opportunity of giving up control, you know, of not having to take care of things, of not having to plan. Also about feeling safe and protected by the dominant and, you know, kind of not having to decide what's going to happen next. And I think this is also something that, I mean, there's this cliche, you know, of this very kind of high level businessman who enjoys to be submissive in the bedroom. And kind of honestly, the more I found out about BDSM over the recent years, the more I see this to actually be true.
100%.
Not everybody, not necessarily. It doesn't mean that if you become kind of, if you get promoted at your job,
then you, that's
yeah, exactly. No, but the thing really is kind of, it's all about balance in life, isn't it? So kind of, if you're kind of having a heavy, responsible job, a really stressful job, you might enjoy giving up control.
But there's giving up control and then there's loving pain.
Then there's loving pain. And this is the interesting thing because kind of pain is really a whole world. And the sensation of pain is very subjective, very individualistic. So some people kind of have a very low pain threshold and other people have a very high pain threshold. And this is very interesting. So with the pain aspect, there's people who can just take a lot. And so for them, it's, you know, it's not even that hard a decision to commit to masochism because they can take it. And for them, it's just another aspect of being submissive, of their power exchange play or whatever. And then there's, of course, people who just enjoy pain.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, this is like interesting.
It's really not for me. I'm very pain adverse.
I just wanted to make a joke that last week I had kind of some back pain. Ooh. And so I would never want to have pain. But I think it's very, very important here in this podcast that we differentiate between, you know, like sickness or accident related pain and the pain in BDSM. What's the difference? I think the difference is like, if we, I don't know, if you have things like back pain, we have no influence about when this will happen, for how long this will happen, and how severe it is. When we talk about a sadomasochistic BDSM play, we actively give over control to our dominant, and then they are having power over how much pain, how long, and when it stops.
It's in the parameters of play.
Exactly. And usually, I mean, a good dominant should know how much pain their submissive can take. Because this is very, very very, very important when we talk about sadomasochism. Of course, the idea or the goal of all of this is to go out of the session and everybody feels okay.
Yes.
So we're not talking about things that really kind of inflicting pain is one thing, but we don't want to really physically harm anybody. So I think that there's really a strong limit there.
The dominant needs to be very careful because sometimes subs don't know their own limit. There's some, like, we call it sub frenzy.
Hmm.
When people say they have no limits and they just want, it's almost like they kind of want to cease their kind of humanity and just be reduced to something that's like so in pain and so inflicted upon. And so the dominant does have a duty to also take it step by step, check in, because sometimes a sub might be willing to take on more than they can actually handle.
Yeah. This whole idea of you know, being able to take whatever amount of pain, I think it really can come from so many places. There are psychologists who explain, some enjoy pain because deep down they think they deserve it. Some enjoy pain because they just want to show the submissive how much they can take of it for them. But
they're dominant.
For the dominant, yes, exactly. But the truth of the matter is really, we don't know.
Yeah, kind of, okay.
We don't know why some people really enjoy it. And it's different for every person.
I think also with pain, it's also about sort of showing yourself how far you can go. If you can push yourself, there's a sense of achievement in that you could handle that. And you could do that with your play partner. And I think that that gives a lot of gratification to people that are into pain.
I think there's a huge discipline aspect about kind of how much can you take for yourself. At the same time, we don't know how this is sexually linked.
Mm.
So kind of why do some people feel sexually aroused by pain.
Pain.
Or by inflicting pain. And there's just no explanation. And then what I... This is something I read online. And when I read this, I thought kind of, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that it's not always necessarily linked to sexuality.
I was thinking that before, but then you said the sort of origins of it really do come from sex.
Yeah, they
do. And inflicting pain sexually, right? So maybe it always is about sex, but you're saying no.
No. I think that this is very clear. And we had this in a lot of other podcast episodes. Some people just like playing. And they enjoy certain aspects of BDSM, but for them, they don't link it to sex.
Sex. But you do have to be very careful, you know, play with people that you trust.
Exactly. You know,
there might be someone that's really into pain and be like, I'll do it. I'll just go to a sex party. And that's usually fine. But you do have to be careful when it comes to pain.
So let's talk a bit about what advice we could give for anybody listening who is thinking, oh, this sounds like me. This is something I want to explore. And the first thing is, it's something we mentioned already, communication, of course. Don't
the first pillar of everything.
It's our golden rule. Really kind of, and also start small. Kind of really, there's no harm in it, literally. If you start very small and then work your way up to whatever feels good for you. The thing is 100%. Also, you will know with time what your body is capable of taking. And also, I think kind of the psychological aspect of it all is also very, very important.
Yeah, because it could really risk traumatizing someone if it's not done in the way that is sort of leading up to it too much too soon. It can put you off. It can, you know, it can really leave both physical and emotional marks. So definitely take it slow.
Yeah, this is also something that I would suggest. Be really careful when selecting your play partner. You know, maybe kind of especially...
Make sure you know the red flags.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
If you feel it, it's true.
So really trust your gut instincts there. And you might not necessarily want to do heavy BDSM play the very, very first time you meet somebody. Because it's good to see how they are. And in that case, then again, a play party might not be the worst space because there's other people around who can actually help you if things become very extreme.
And I would say if you're going to do blood play, which is a sort of form of pain play, make sure you sterilize any needles or penetrative items that might go in your body before, and actually seek the advice of someone medical, I would. We had an episode on medical play earlier. What was it? No, it was last year. She was actually a registered nurse before, so she knows what she's doing. So make sure you seek out all the advice you can in that respect.
And check out that episode. It's really, really nice one. That's it about sadomasochism. If you're listening to this and want to share your experiences with us, please reach out, let us know your stories either on Instagram at SpankyNextPodcast or send us an email. The email address is SpankyNext, the U is with you, at PlayaMedia, that's PlayaMedia.com.
Perfect. We actually received a really nice email from a fan a couple of weeks ago. And it really warmed our hearts. We're not going to mention names, but they shared their story. And we couldn't be more grateful for hearing how our podcast is impacting people around the world.
Yeah, we really love hearing from you.
So do it.
So do it. Write to us.
And until then, keep it kinky.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Spanky Next on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at Spanky Next Podcast.
If you'd like to connect with people who share your kinks, sign up to fetish.com for free or download the Fet app from Google Play Store and the App Store now.
And for any one of you who is looking to deepen their knowledge of kink, head to the BDSM training school on fetish.com and enroll in a course now.
And last but not least, shout out to our producer, Billy Cragen, our kinky team, and everyone who makes this podcast possible.